Hi, this is Jeff.
And this is Steve.
From the 12A Podcast.
Where we talk entertainment and movies.
Under a budget.
Listen to us at 4eyedradio.com.
And now, enjoy our friends on this next podcast.
This 4eyed Radio production is brought to you by America Joy Print Shop. All your printing needs taken care of in one convenient place. Visit AmericaJoy.com for business cards, flyers, banners, decals, car wraps, and more. Visit AmericaJoy.com.
Statistics say you survey and you wait. You put people in grass, call it the place. May I ask if you've ever seen a numbers face?
Hey y'all, thanks so much for coming back to the Underground Railroad. We really appreciate you and that you lick our shit, and please continue to lick our shit. First of all, I have to start it off by welcoming back an old friend of ours. We've been missing her. She's been in hibernation, but Natalie is back now. On the show tonight.
Yes, I was in a slight coma, but I'm okay now. I'm back in action, and thank you for all the letters. I will not be returning those, but it was fun. We have a special,
a very special
this
specially
time
than special so guest with us.
Who?
Settle in.
Who are you talking about?
We have our lovely friend Cole Kibbers on the show with us.
Hi.
Hey there, Cole. How are you doing tonight?
How's it going?
Better now that you're here.
Thanks for the beers.
Oh yeah, that's kind of what we do. You know,
you get your guests sloppy drunk.
Yeah, yep. That's how we steal all your
that's
secrets.
That's how we get all the dirty deeds out.
Oh boy, is this what Oprah does? She just gets everybody all sloppy drunk.
We exactly. Stole secrets from Oprah.
That explains so much about that whole Tom Cruise thing a couple years ago on the couch. He was just super drunk.
I think she might feed them some special magic on top of getting them sloppy drunk. It's just a theory I have.
I think she's just pumping the place full of, like, some type of oxygen / marijuana.
I think that people are just excited that she might do those car giveaways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's endorphins, man. And adrenaline does so much. You would be surprised.
Well, you might get lucky and win a car tonight, Cole.
Yes.
Maybe.
I was just getting ready to leave, but I guess I'll stick around.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep you around. So, before we get too far into...
Well, let's get to the bare balls of Cole as far as, like, where you... Because obviously you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And musicians are an interesting, like, specimen.
Weird.
Yeah.
Musicians are weird.
Well,
I just like how we're cutting right to the nitty gritty, It's like blah blah blah, Oprah, blah blah blah.
Well, I was gonna try to fill in our listeners on like what has been going on with Natalie, but she saw the iron in the fire and wanted to hop right into it. So,
well, I'm just
we're doing that.
A little curious.
I'm curious. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
No.
What's been up with Natalie? How's Natalie?
How is Natalie? Yes, that's such a very crazy question. No, she's good. She definitely got walked in on the other day by a customer because, I mean, you know me at work, or not at work, but at home. I don't even close the door when I pee.
Yeah, we poop and talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly. So
girls poop, but we poop gummy bears and flowers. So
yes, remember that. And But yeah, so luckily the guy that walked in on me was my customer that I was waiting on. And I'm like, oh, that's extra. You can't just, that's, and yeah, it was pretty awkward for the rest of the night. He's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom in like 5-10 minutes. So you want to meet me there? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there with my taser and my katana. But
do you have a katana?
I do.
Cool. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't fuck with me. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I've been good. How about yourself?
Are you asking me how I am, or are you wanting to know what most awkward moment I had this week?
Exactly.
Exactly that. I'm trying to think.
Let's be real here. Erin Mooney doesn't typically remember her awkward moments.
There's a hole in your door. I either find out about them, or it's like every other second of my life that I don't know how to differentiate just like real interactions with people versus awkward moments. But yeah, I guess like the funniest thing that I can remember at this point that's happened in like the past couple of days was like stressing out, running through a grocery store, trying to just like pick up a wedding card for a friend before like I was already running late to their wedding, and cut off this guy.
I love
twice.
How you're belching into them.
I know. It's familiar with my oxygen gas. But yeah, like, so I'm rushing through this like grocery store. I like stop and like totally cut this guy off, and then like stagger step, cut him off again. And then I hear, "Hey, Erin." And it's not only a friend of mine, but a neighbor. And it wasn't really awkward. It was just really funny. And I guess like awkwardness is funny to me. So no, it was pretty hilarious, because then like I get behind him in line and he's like, go in front of me. You've got one thing and you're obviously in a hurry. You almost ran me over. But I don't know.
I don't know. It was pretty funny there the other day when we were at the grocery store and this girl, we
were
singing,
yeah, we
like,
were talking
Prince.
About Prince.
And like, she's like, oh yeah, I dated him. And I'm like, didn't everybody? And
it actually started Cole dated Prince.
I dated Prince?
You dated Prince. But Gabby told me a story about how her mom dated Prince.
Tiffany Nelson, if I can say that.
Yes.
Tiffany Nelson went on a couple of dates in the 80s with Prince, because they're both living in Minneapolis. And she was, she's Lebanese. So it was like, you know, in a sea of Midwestern white girl,
yeah.
Here's this little Lebanese hottie, and Prince is all like, Prince is all like, what up, girl? And then he brought her flowers and stuff, and all I know really is that her grandmother, who's a wonderful woman and a total character, so Tiffany's mom, Gabby's grandmother, was like, whatever you do, don't get in that limousine with that man. Don't get in the limousine with that singer man. And I don't know.
And then she did.
She did.
So I was telling, Prince was on, I think
it was over the speaker in the grocery store,
but I was trying to remember which song.
Kiss.
Too rich to be my girl. Yeah.
To have to be
cruel to rule my world.
I just want your ecstasy and your
kiss.
Yeah.
So
exactly
I was, we were doing that exactly
that.
In the bean aisle.
Right.
We were buying beans.
Yeah.
And, and I started telling Natalie about how Gabby had told me that her mom had once dated Prince, and this woman just boom, chimes in. She's like, it wasn't hard to do that back in the
day.
What
did she call him?
I forgot. She had a special
pet name for him.
Ooh. Yeah.
It was like Boom Boom or Pop Pop.
No, I thought it was like, I almost said Hyphy, but I know that's not right. She had like a special pet name for him.
I almost want to call Gabby's mom right now and ask her if she ever had a pet name.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
Apparently, this woman got all weird once, like, she started seeing drugs backstage and was like, I'm not into that. and like dipped out. But what?
I'll be honest. I think it was more of a wishful, like drunken dream that she had.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I had a dream about Michael Jackson.
Tiffany, I have a quick question. I'm on a I'm on a podcast right now, so this has got to be brief. I just have a question for you.
Yes.
So we're talking about this guy named Prince that I think that you knew back in the day, and we were wondering if you ever had any pet names for Prince.
Pet names for Prince?
Yes.
That's an interesting question. But, you know, I do know that I should have never taken my mom's advice. He did send me champagne, strawberries, and flowers to my room, and I was 18, the drinking age of 18.
Sounds about right.
I was at First Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Pet name for Prince. Yeah, think of one. I think Prince is perfect.
Aaron, one of the hosts of the podcast, has a question.
Did you go to any bases with Prince? First or second? I don't need to know any further than that.
Or did you score?
Hey, what?
She wants to know if you went to second base with Prince.
Is that where he filled my boobs?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I went to first base with him. I kissed him.
Okay. Oh, okay.
What?
That's good. You took your mother's advice, and she'll be happy to know that.
Kissed him on the dance floor, and I had the cute little heels then at the time, boots with the little, like, you guys will remember this in the 80s. We had, like, the little, what do you call it, like, bracelet around the boots. And I was about as tall as he was because he had the same boots on.
Oh, that's awesome. You guys had matching boots. So it was really, it was destiny.
It was destiny, and I bet to this day, if I saw him, he would know me, and yes.
Ooh, well, he's coming to the Marquee soon, so maybe we'll have to try to...
I understand that. I'm going to go. I want to go. Well, is it sold out already?
I don't know.
$250 a ticket.
Yeah, $250 a ticket. Now, Rob, that's her man now, and Rob is actually even a bigger stud than Prince, so I'm sure that he can make that happen.
I'm sure he can, and I bet if we could find Prince, we could... Yeah, let me work on that.
Okay, you work on that.
I had his cell phone number in my phone.
Well,
we didn't have cell phones then, but I had it written down. I called from a phone booth at First Avenue. That's how we used to roll then.
Oh, those phone booths.
This was 30 years ago.
AKA.
And hey, real quick, one last question. Who did your mom go to high school with that was also a famous musician?
Bobby V.
What?
Yep. Bob Dylan.
That's legit right there.
Minnesota in the 60s and Minnesota in the 80s.
There you go.
Okay, well, thank you. Say thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. We love you.
That was wonderful.
We love you. We'll talk to I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. All right, bye.
No, because the woman that we met in the grocery store, she did say that the second Prince took off his boots, he was too short. Man.
That's
yeah, exactly.
That's so
what
funny.
She just said.
That's exactly what happens to you.
Oh, yeah.
Second you take your boots off, you're like 4 foot.
Seven. Yeah, that's what happens to me for sure. For sure. That's why I always wear big boots.
You never take them off. You shower with them.
You just wear stilts all the time.
Well, that was nice of Tiffany. I'm glad.
No, that was awesome. I'm glad and I'm glad that she wasn't uncomfortable with my question.
No, Tiffany's never uncomfortable about anything.
That's good.
She is an open book.
Awesome.
My favorite book.
She is my favorite book.
Tiffany Nelson, written by Tiffany Nelson. It's currently what we have on our.
I just like how you thought you were going to be delving into my past instead of delving into Tiffany's past.
I know. I like how you.
Oh, but not so fast.
Pop, shove it.
Not so fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into
we're
there.
We're getting into
we're
there.
We're going there now.
We're cracking your nut. We're. That didn't sound right. But we are...
That's illegal in at least 5 states.
Is well, definitely not in this
state. Not in Arizona. Not in Arizona. All right.
Not
all right.
At the Socially Awkward Studios. It is not against the law. So for those of you who don't know our good friend Cole, he is an amazing man that is involved with a lot of projects, and that's why we have him on the show tonight, because we want to pick his brain and have him talk about all the beautiful things that he's doing.
You want to bust my nut?
Crack your nut.
Bust your nut. Whoa.
Okay, now you're going too far there. Okay.
I didn't know the terminology.
Easy there. Easy. Careful.
Picking your nut and picking your brain, and we
picking
might
this is expensive equipment.
We don't want your intestines before the end of the night.
Yes.
Sorry, I just started watching The Walking Dead. I've got zombies for lullabies.
The Walking Bad, which is the
meth addict version of zombies.
Yeah, but anywhoozle. So Cole, tell us, how did music start for you?
Because
obviously it's not in your family.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not my family. I have an amazing family, but I came from a more like a family where sports was everything. My both my grandpas.
Well, your family is from the Midwest, right?
We grew up out here in the valley. But then when I was 13, my dad, who was originally from Iowa, he moved here to play football for ASU in the 70s.
Wow.
Defensive end under Frank Cush. He won the Fiesta Bowl against Nebraska in 75, all that good stuff. Met my mom.
There's some talent there.
There's some talent. But met my mom. We lived here. I grew up here until I was like 13. And then they decided that they wanted to move back to Iowa to be closer to family. And so we ended up moving to the super small town, which for me was total culture shock. Because like my first day of school, I show up wearing like a Green Day shirt, and like I got my long shorts on, my like, you know, sweet bowl cut, and then like
sweet bowl cut. I don't think I've ever heard that in one sentence before, but yeah.
Well, you haven't seen my bowl cut. But then
should we have scissors for you tonight?
Yeah, let's do that tonight. But then I don't know, I just my first day of school there, I felt like an alien because I wasn't wearing like a Carhartt jacket, you know. You know, over time I definitely made some friends. There's some good people there, but music wasn't very big in small town Iowa. So I guess kind of the cool part for me is I feel like it came about really organically and internally. It wasn't like I just hung out with a bunch of like cool dudes that played music, so I was trying to fit in. Like I just always had this like yearning or this kind of like knew that there was something good out there, but I didn't even know what I was looking for.
So was it kind of something that you just started doing on your own?
Yeah.
And it was more like something that you took refuge in.
It was a calling that you like,
yeah,
where
I
came
just,
from.
I bought
you felt it.
I bought a shitty PV guitar and a little amp for my friend for like $150. Mm-hmm. And I just started, this is probably right around the time when like Napster came out, that was, right? So I would download a song and it would take like an hour. So I would like look up a song and I would download it. And then that was like my little treasure for that night, because you could download like one or two songs in a night. And then I would try to figure it out.
How to play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just by sound.
Yeah. So
at that time with Napster, what were you downloading?
Oh, such cool stuff.
Like,
oh man,
Backstreet Boys.
No, it was probably a lot of Brand New, early Bright Eyes, saves the Day, Juliana Theory,
okay,
a bunch of like you know that stuff,
like angsty, like I'm a teenager, I feel like I don't have enough people to connect with, and so
I kind of just found that music because you know. My first music that I was into was probably like, you know, when I was like 12, it was like all like Weezer and Green Day and Coolio and Boys to Men. That was like, but before that, it was all like, all I grew up listening to was like oldies, like, you know, Stevie Wonder, the Beatles, stuff like that.
Billie Holiday.
So it was kind of, and the Top Gun soundtrack. Cause I mean, come on. I mean,
I'll be your goose. I mean, always, Natalie, I'll be goose.
But then, you know, I kind of, you know, even it might be funny to say, but even bands like Blink-182 or Newfound Glory, they were those bands, I feel like now get kind of like passed up by a lot of people when they talk about what their gateway drugs into music were. But like that stuff was like if I didn't go to a Blink-182 show, I wouldn't have heard of Newfound Glory. I wouldn't have heard of Saves the Day. I wouldn't have heard of Brand New. Then I wouldn't have heard of Bright Eyes. Then I wouldn't have discovered Modest Mouse.
No,
and then
for
so
sure.
On and so
for sure.
Forth.
I completely agree with that. Like,
and, you know, and that led to just everything that I listened to today.
So from that
but I can
juncture,
hear it in your music now, like that whole like collaboration of sound. I hear it in Kachina. So that's interesting that you mentioned those bands.
Yeah.
But
so from that though, like from getting that first guitar and amp, like how did you just
it took a while.
Propel yourself.
I wasn't necessarily super good at guitar, and I'm not necessarily even now super good at guitar, but the big thing for me was when I got an acoustic guitar, looks like we have a friend.
We have a visitor.
Hi.
We have a fan.
Oh, it's the bouncer.
He's so happy to know that we're doing a recording right now. He just had to burst through the door and say hello.
But
he loves the Underground Railroad, and he loves Kachina.
Hi.
Tell your friends.
Let's embarrass Sammy some more.
It's all audio. No one will ever know.
No one will ever know.
But yeah, then, you know, I started, especially once I got to college, you know, I met other like-minded people.
And
that,
where did you go to college?
So University of Northern Iowa.
So Iowa,
because it was in-state, you know?
Yeah.
But I met a bunch of kids that went there from Minneapolis because it was only a couple hours away from there. So they were more on the same page as me. And then I started a band called Ambush Sunrise, which was like, you know.
I love that fucking name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ambush Sunrise. Yeah, it was like, it came from a lyric that I wrote for a song that was like, go grab the guys, let's go ambush sunrise so we can stay put in tonight. It was just about like wanting, like, you know, nights
that never
end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
forever.
So that was Ambush Sunrise. That's where that moniker came from. And then, you know, I played around in a few different bands there. Everything from like literally straight acoustic stuff to even a couple of hardcore bands for a short period of time,
yeah.
Which was, I was never even into it, but it was just, again, there was a limited scope of people to
and
play
the
music
experience
with.
And trying it out. Why not?
Mm-hmm. But, my heart's always been with kind of the type of music that I play now. It's just evolved.
Yeah. So how did you come about from there to making Kachina Creative Studios happen? Like, what birthed
the studio?
Yeah.
The short version would be I went to college for video production and mm-hmm. got a minor in creative writing. And then after that, I moved out here. I was contemplating moving to different places, and then it just kind of worked out that I came back here. And I loved it when I grew up out here. So I thought that I'd love it when I got back, but in truth, the transition was really hard moving here. I ended up in kind of the wastelands of North Phoenix, and it was a hard couple of years at first, but I'm so grateful for it because some of my best friends that I've made were from that time. Zach Fishnick, who's in Kachina, one of the greatest human beings of all time.
He's amazing.
And I met him up there and a slew of other people. I would start naming names, but I wouldn't want to leave anyone out. So
yeah.
But so I met people and then moved downtown and then to Tempe. But that whole time, like at first I had to just work whatever jobs, like doing IT work. I worked for Apple for a couple of years as a creative trainer, but I was always still trying to do production work. And then I randomly landed a job directing a TV show called The Positive Side of Sports and Entertainment. Which is
kind of a funny combination to think about.
Yeah.
Sports and entertainment.
Yeah. Well, we would interview celebrities and athletes about the positive things they were doing, their charities and whatnot.
Awesome.
But the good thing was that the job sucked for a lot of reasons. The host of the show, if you've ever seen the show, that guy is not who he appears to be on TV, and I have no problem saying that. But the good news is that I made a lot of connections. You know, I worked with Kurt Warner, Alice Cooper, Tommy Chong, Tom Arnold, Carl Edwards, Bubba Watson. I don't know, just a bunch of random people.
Yeah.
So it raised my profile very quickly, and I ended up meeting an investor through that who was kind of a fan of what I was doing and asked me what I want to do. And I wanted to get the hell out of there and do my own thing. And so he's been amazing. His name's Scott Nyland. I can't even say how grateful I am to him, but
yeah.
He helped me get a studio in North Scottsdale. He's helped me get a bunch of equipment. And then right now I'm just trying to build everything up, but we just shot a pilot this past week. So
wow.
What?
A pilot, that's pretty, that's
a pilot,
a small deal.
A TV show for yeah. a national TV show that, again, it's a show that I'm going to make because it makes a lot of sense mm-hmm. to make it, and it will hopefully be able to fund other projects that we really want to do, you know, documentaries, short films,
yeah,
music videos.
Awesome.
This project I'm still excited about. It's a show about like fancy horse facilities and Arabian horses. It's basically like
awesome.
Cribs for horses. So I go around the country to these like $20 million facilities that people have for their horses and shoot those for a network. I don't think I can say what network, but I've been talking with them and it looks like it's probably going to happen.
Awesome. That's so crazy. With how you got into what you're currently doing,
mm-hmm.
do you have any advice for possible listeners out there who might want to?
Yeah. Work hard, network, and don't give up, especially if you're working like some shitty 9-to-5 job that you hate. I know a lot of people doing that grind, and I was that person for like all of my 20s for the most part. So like,
well, like, cause you're like 62 right
I'm
now.
I just turned 68.
Yeah.
Yep. but no, like, I mean,
I see it.
You know, like you just have to, I read a lot of, you know, Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra mm-hmm. and all that. And I believe in a lot of, you know, the creating affluence and all that. I can't say that I live it perfectly, but I'm trying. And I feel like a lot of times if you just set your mind to the things that you want and you stay positive and you don't let things get you down, that the things that you want really can happen. And I see it more and more. Even the people I surround myself with, they, it's a collective thing. And I feel like a lot of people are riding that same wave right now. And I see everybody doing cool, creative things, yourselves included, with this podcast. And it's just so awesome. And it's so inspiring to be around such awesome people. So if you're not around awesome people, if you're around people that are just getting wasted all day, and not saying that's not fun, but if you're around people that you don't think are on the same wave as you, get off and go find those people because they're out there.
Because there are energy vampires out there mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. the stratosphere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely.
So, Cole, not only do you have this awesome studio that you are
starting,
and also you need to let everybody know how they can find that and see what projects you guys are doing.
Sure.
But you're also, you mentioned in a band with some really amazing musicians.
Yes.
And where can that music be accessed?
Well, the band's called Kachina. The studio's called Kachina Creative Studios.
So it's kind of easy to find it all.
Yes. The band, I think, you know, we're still getting a lot of our more tangible, you know, music recorded, videos put out. We care a lot about doing those things, but sometimes they take longer than you want them to.
Gotcha.
But we're on Facebook. I think it's Kachina Band, you know, Facebook/ mm-hmm. Kachina Band. Same on YouTube, Vimeo, all that. The production company is either under Kachina Creative Studios or Kachina Studios. Again, you're not going to find a lot right now,
right.
but more is coming. The website that I am going under, I have KachinaCreativeStudios.com, but I also just purchased Kachina.co. So it'll probably just be under that as well.
And for anybody that's listening, and if you want more information about Kachina and all things Kachina, like, we'll be posting tons of links on the Underground Railroad on our Facebook page and on our Twitter. So lick our shit already. I know I tell you to do this all the time, but just do it. And if you want to know more about Kachina, you can easily access them from our Facebook page and our Twitter. So think about that. not to interrupt this awesome interview, though, I thought it was a way to kind of...
I don't know.
I'm getting better at this thing that I'm doing called a podcast. So I want to say you guys sound awesome. Every time I hear you guys play, like, I get really excited because it's a lot of amazing people that I already know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how talented you all are. And then just to see you all up there, like, having fun and creating and playing together.
It's great to see Adam, Matt, and, like, everybody.
Yeah, Zach and Mikey and Bradley,
just
too.
Just to say a little bit about each person, if I can.
Definitely.
Zach is the oldest member of Kachina with me. Mm-hmm. We started together. He, like I said, he's like a brother to me, but he's also just this amazingly unique, talented, beautiful person who plays guitar differently than anybody I know, but I can write a really simple song and then show it to Zach, and then he makes it
perfect.
Just so different. So it'll be like, wow, I never would have done that, and thank God, because you just did something way better than I would have done.
Yeah.
Then Matthew joined, Matthew Gilbert, and he asked to join the band. I never asked him simply because it's Matthew Gilbert, and he's a badass. And so when he asked to join, I was super happy, and he's been a godsend to the band. Bradley Clough, if you've ever heard that guy's music, I don't even need to say anything.
Yeah,
him and Dylan Pratt are like the two best songwriters,
post,
I think.
Bunch of shit of theirs.
And then Adam Morgan, he's like my little boy. He's my child. And I mean
he's
that with a lot
bear.
Of love. He's my brother bear. Yeah. He helped build the stage in our house / practice space called Fort Wanderlust.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for Adam, half the stuff in Fort Wanderlust wouldn't be there. If you've ever been there, he built like this 25-foot long picnic table in like a day. He built a stage. He built a wall. That place like was built off of his bare hands and some old roof trusses that he managed to get from a project. So Mikey Sparrow, who was in Kachina as our drummer.
He's now on tour with Authority Zero.
Yeah, he is Authority Zero's full-time bass player now. Yep. We had a great talk when we found out the news. We're so proud of him, supportive.
Oh my God, I love Mikey.
Hell yeah.
He's brilliant.
And he just released a new album too, speaking of promoting stuff.
Oh yeah, off of...
Nomadic Romantic. It's unbelievable. Him and Alex Albee Adams recorded it. Yeah.
And it's the... is it Chicken... Breakfast,
oh, Chicken Flu.
Chicken
oh,
Flu.
God, I'm such an
yeah,
asshole
it is.
For not
it
knowing.
Is Chicken Flu.
Okay.
Yeah, Chicken Flu Records.
Studios or Records. I apologize, Alex, but we actually tracked.
It is Chicken Flu though.
We tracked drums with Alex, and I feel terrible not thinking of the studio name, but
amazing.
It's because I, it's all Alvy. So well, to me it is. So we tracked drums with him. We haven't been able to record everything on them yet, but they sounded amazing. He's another phenomenal talent and gift to this town.
Yeah. Awesome. No, like for those of you who don't live in Phoenix.
I'm so impressed with Phoenix and it's like local music.
It's coming along a lot. I did a interview with State Press Magazine this past weekend and they actually talked about like, well, why be in a band from Phoenix instead of somewhere else? And we just all said like, well, I could move to LA or I could move to Portland or I could move to Seattle and we could join those scenes, or we could be on the ground level building a scene. And it's important right now because all the bands that are part of this scene, Sundress, Jaffe's Descent, Mergent, Futureless Past,
Fair State, Pearl.
Danger Paul. Again, I shouldn't even start listing people because I'm Huckleberry, all my friends, everybody that I'm forgetting. But all those bands, like even the one, some of them I... Madonna, Prince.
Some
of those bands, it's like I know very well. Some of them I only know from maybe playing a show or two next to them. But it's like such a family. It's such a community. Like it's crazy. And it's like that's the backbone that we need to lay down. Music's always come from Arizona. Like in the 90s, it was big from here.
Jim Bossoms and everything.
Yeah,
like
Jimmy
so
World,
much.
The format. Yeah. But it's like we're doing it again, I guess, but we're doing it bigger and we wanna hopefully make it so that it stays a community. It's not competitive.
Lunez,
by the way. Trace Lunez.
Oh yes.
My boy.
Yes. So good. And Yellow Minute. Okay. No, stop naming local bands. So There was a night that I was at the...
Making a drinking game.
I know. No, let's...
All right, everybody at home right now, just say it and
take a shot.
Start drinking.
But there was one night that I met some really awesome people at the Crescent Ballroom. I can't remember what show it was after because it was just like one of those local nights, like you didn't even have to pay to get in. It was just like hang out at the Crescent.
I love those rooms.
And this girl, I bummed a light off of her and complimented her dress. And we ended up just talking because she's kind of been doing the whole I'm traveling everywhere, blah, blah, blah sort of thing that I had semi been doing for a while. But she had found herself in Phoenix for 2 years and she was starting to feel kind of weird about it, which I almost had like a semi meltdown about it like a couple months ago because I was like, oh my God, am I really going to spend like a third year in a row in Phoenix? Like, what am I doing? I have this itch to leave. I have this like, where do I want to go? But her and I talked and she had said how, why do you want to be a small fish in a big pond where there's already all of this happening where you could easily be, you could stay in Phoenix and be a part of all of the amazing things that are actually like happening new again. Like there's already so much going on in LA. There's already so much going on in Austin. There's
LA swallows you.
There's shit going on in Austin. There's shit going on in LA. There's plenty going on in Portland. Plenty going on in Seattle. New York, Brooklyn, Williamsburg. They got it.
Right.
Like, why try to go there and make it rather than like be part of something that's already happening?
Well, for sports fans, I gave the analogy. Right now, we're LeBron James in Cleveland. We're not LeBron James in Miami.
Right.
And I can't say that I'll never go to those places just because I would love to live in San Francisco. It's gorgeous. I would love to live in Williamsburg. I'd love to live in LA.
Yeah.
But like right now, I'm very happy to be here.
Like the fact that things are just like, it's like the kettle's just starting to brew here. Like,
right.
And like, so why not be a part of the explosion that's going to happen?
The flower is blooming. I don't know.
The flower blooming explosion of Phoenix and the ashes that rise from the metropolis that will be in the
Should
time
we write
of
a song about it?
I think I just did.
That was basically lyrics to the new song that he just made up.
Now, well, Cole, how do you feel about playing some music tonight?
I'm down.
Not to cut the conversation short.
I'm pissed.
Are you going to beat me with a beer bottle?
Probably.
Throw it at my face.
I would have done that anyway. No.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot our terms of
endearment.
Yeah. But yeah, if you feel like showing some of our listeners what Kachina is all about, this is one man Kachina. There's multiple bandmates that go along to the beauty that Cole is about to drop on your brain cell.
I'm mainly playing this song that I'm going to play because we don't usually play this song, and it is kind of a song that I can do one man. So otherwise, a lot of the songs I'm like, I could play it, but I just don't feel like it does it justice without this or that. Yeah, so this is just a little acoustic song that I wrote. It's called Winged Bird of the Sea. Let's have a little sip.
Yep.
Winged Bird of the Sea by Kachina.
How dare you fly, winged bird of the sea? How dare you sleep, sweet guardian dreams? How dare you scorn me, you sweet silly thing? Lead me to thirst in this deserted heat. My bones rattle along the line, save for those snakes at my feet. With his words proven true, with his oil so cheap. Don't As for meaning, no, you small human being. Just marry the first man that hands you the ring. So sip on your salted glass in the lounge. Act like you don't notice when I'm not around. Tap your feet to the beat of some sad, sappy sound. And find comfort in talks of getting out of this town. Yeah, lambast the past until it gets so bad. But no sobs of regret could ever take you back. How dare you swim in fish of the land? And how dare you sing out if you're not in the band? How dare you swear you tried to understand? If you won't move your foot, though it's crushing my hand. So I peruse old shells for vestigial remains of books wrapped in blankets filled with dusty refrains. I hum them like the gospel, think of all the people they saved. And then I fold all the pages in the small paper planes. When I hit the road, you're gonna know that I'm gone. Cause there will be no more moment for my memory to haunt. Just a small, winsome smile in the back of your mind. And a yearning for love that's impossible. Clap along.
Very nice, very nice, very nice.
So, Cole, when you wrote this song, what provoked it? Was it a melody first or lyrics first or emotions? Or how did it come to being the beautiful piece that it is?
Adderall.
this song came about... I was living at a house downtown called a TV set, which was a couple blocks over from the Hello House, which is when I met Matthew and Bradley and Austin Owens and Mikey and the whole crew.
The whole crew, yeah.
And I was just in my room one night feeling sort of, I don't know, just despondent about everything that had happened.
I almost said that word.
For a while leading up to it, but I was getting to a point where I felt a change coming, and this song I just kind of wrote in a night. And I remember I wrote the lyrics in one swoop. I didn't even look up at them because I knew that if I did, I'd lose the momentum of it. And I just wrote it. And the second I wrote it, I just set it down. I was like,
Isn't that awesome?
So do you feel sometimes when you write that way, do you write it in a rhythm that you're already thinking you want to play along
In this example, I did. Typically, if I have a melody in my head, those lyrics are 10 times more likely to be turned into a song because I have notebooks and pages and endless stuff of lyrics. Even on this computer in front of me, I probably have 20 different things of lyrics, but none of them have made it into a song because I'll just write and then it just doesn't fit. So I don't, maybe I'll get inspired to use like a line in it in another song, but most things that I write, if they don't start with a melody, as much as I would like them to turn into something, they don't.
So that's kind of your formula to,
you have to hear it.
Good music to, writing. You hear it.
Right. Otherwise it's poetry.
Yeah.
Which is good too.
Fine as well. But yeah, no. I definitely can understand that because
like, I know you
when
and
I, when I tend to write music, like I hear the music and while I'm writing, and so it's like, yeah.
Well, and I know, like, for me personally, like, a lot of times, like, I'll play a same progression, and I might never find words for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just kind of a never-ending battle.
No, but I'm love
okay
when
with
I get,
playing that
like,
game.
Like, sound going, and all of a sudden, like, words and stuff comes out of my mouth. I love it.
But so cool. What are three albums or artists that are heavily on your playlist rotation right now?
Right now. Okay. I'll stick to right now because otherwise that's an impossible question.
Right now.
I have been obsessed with Youth Lagoon.
Okay.
For a while. My girlfriend actually saw them at Treasure Island and was like, this band's awesome. And then I was like, you know, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay.
And ever since then, I've just been obsessed with them. They just came out with a new album. Totally check it out. If I could recommend any band from the last year, that's the band.
That's the best
album. I've been super into First Aid Kit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on now.
I love the shit out of First Aid Kit.
You can't hate on First Aid Kit.
Yeah.
And if you do, fine, whatever, but no.
Other than...
Lion's Roar is such a great album.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's, and my husband's on it, so...
Yeah.
Connor Oberst
is my husband.
I love that man. Like, what... Again, that's kind of like... like, people can say whatever. Yeah. My thing is If somebody doesn't like Count Oberst or Bright Eyes, I'm like, that's cool. You just don't get it, though.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't get it. Like, you just don't fucking get it.
That's,
And I'm sorry for them. But,
you're missing out.
Other than that, I would just say I actually made a playlist yesterday. So what is on it?
Share it with us. We can post the whole thing on our Facebook page and our Twitter and... I'll Spotify it. Do you use Spotify?
Because
I can follow you on Spotify.
Yeah, I use it sometimes. I don't know. I have like In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry, Peter Paul and Mary Bone in the Wind, Another Saturday Night by Sam Cooke, This Will Be Our Year by The Zombies, The Mighty Jungle by Beach Boys, Benny King, Stand By Me.
You're getting down into the Boondocks, your whole summer vibe.
Yeah, El Paso by Marty Robbins, Janis Joplin, Peace of My Heart. I did throw on a little bit of hip hop. I put on Kush by Lil Wayne.
What?
Because, I mean, come on. I put on, what's that Wiz Khalifa song? Young and Wild and Free, Forever Young by Jay-Z. This really great song. I don't know much about new Macklemore dude, but he has a song about talking about like gay rights called Same Love. That's such a good song.
It was crazy because like living in Seattle for a while, like I heard Macklemore all the time and like I would see flyers like Macklemore is doing this tonight, whatever, whatever. And I never thought anything of it. And reminds me, sorry, my thought process works this way, but it is actually public radio Appreciation Month. So any public radio station that you really love and adore, mine specifically is KEXP in Seattle, which is how I even first heard Macklemore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like hearing their name like blowing up on these waves, and it's like their thrift shop song. And I was like, dude, they were playing every Saturday night at the fucking Crocodile. Like, we were on our way to LA, and he's like, I want to buy your granddad's clothes. And then it was like Macklemore, and I was like, dude, I know this band. I lived in Seattle. Like, they were all over the place. They were like, Fresh Espresso was opening for them and shit. But no, like, it's really great. Like,
yeah, he seems like the type of dude that would like be right in with us, just making music. And
well, I had heard so much about him before, mm-hmm. and then he exploded with the thrift shop song.
Yeah,
and now like so many people who are outside of the Northwest like know who he is, and that's all it takes is like one good hit.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
he's saying is like legit.
I mean, I watched his I don't remember what they call it, but the NPR where they do like the little shows in that little library room or whatever. And it was cool. And he just seems like one of those
off
dudes.
The record.
That's just like, yeah. He's just like super happy to be there. He's kind of like, why am I famous all of a sudden?
Yeah.
But I'm just going to write it and have fun.
He's
and
he's
been
working on it for so long.
Like Toro y Moi. Like he's totally like super just like, okay, I don't know.
I don't understand why.
Well, we saw, it's been a good few weeks for concerts, I think, because Coachella's going on. Like, we just saw Modest Mouse on Sunday, Sigur Rós, like, on Friday. I don't even remember. We've been to a bunch of shows with Jeff Mangum. We went to at Crescent and in Tucson.
You got to see him in Tucson, too, and, like, stayed a couple rooms down from him.
Yeah, we stayed a couple rooms down from him in Hotel Congress, which was, for me, like, there's a few people ahead of him, Paul McCartney, Conor Oberst, but, like, Jeff Mangum's, like, He's up there.
And I want you to finish.
No, please.
Stop.
No, you.
Just
no, I mean, we just happened to, you know, he was leaving his room when we were walking by in the hall, and I didn't want to be like, you know, Mr. Cheesy or anything, but I just had to say I mean, that's what I said, but like I shouldn't have.
But you should have.
I did.
You did.
Wait. Well, no, I just told him, I just said like, hey, like, we've loved you and your music, or me and my friends have loved you and your music for a long time. You know, like, thank you.
Because I felt, and maybe this was just me and where I was standing at the show at the Crescent, where I felt that, like, I had some eye contact with him. And it was just like, I mean, I was dancing, I was singing along, and I was having so much fun. And, like, I mean, he like left in the middle of the set.
Yeah, sure.
And it was just like, okay, somebody's like,
you know.
And I mean, he's like a weird artist in general.
He
like,
is,
he's
and that's
one of those.
He gets a total free pass in my book.
Oh yeah.
It's so authentic. Like all of his weirdness, for whatever people can judge it, but it's so authentically him.
Yes.
That like.
Well, and that's why I was like, I think I made eye contact with you, and I'll take that for what it is. Because
which is interesting.
I wasn't going to try to, like, meet him after the show or whatever.
Right.
Being a performer, because, like, you have to be completely just barren and just, like, you're just
I have to say, though, like, there's a huge difference between like a performer like Madonna or Lady Gaga versus somebody like Isaac Brock or Conor Oberst.
Of course.
Or even like, I mean,
not
Jeff Magnum
comparable.
and fucking Thom Yorke, like where
oh my God,
they don't even think about it. They like know they have to play shows, but they're not there to even really entertain the audience. They're there to like fulfill their own. And
that's a question I never know how to answer when people say, like, well, you know, why do you write songs or who do you write songs? It's like, I don't know if I say, you know, like for myself, for other people, like it's just kind of like it just happens. And then it's just like it's no different than somebody that paints a picture. Like maybe they paint it for themselves initially.
Yeah.
And then if other people can take something out of it, cool.
Well, there's stories from like
blinking, like you just. do it. You don't know why.
Well,
you don't
there's know. Stories too from like Renoir, like being torn away from a piece at the end of the night, where he was still trying to fix it up because he still wasn't even satisfied with it, and sure. it was still being like displayed in a gallery. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think artists and like creative people are weird. Like, there's some that are able to just like lay it out there on the line, and others that like they'll
never
do it,
feel...
but they.
It's yeah. like it's like some people are. It's like all of those people that you said are basically walking out on stage naked. And yeah. some of them are okay with that because they like being like, here I am, baby, yeah. I'm naked. And then some of them are like,
wait,
all right, I got to do this. But
I'm
like,
just,
this is really like
yeah.
awkward for me, you know, or something yeah. like that.
For sure. Like, because
there's several like different ways of like showing your talent. And
and there's even like exhibitionism and like so on and so forth too, where I've had conversations with multiple people where they create and they make jewelry or they paint or they do whatever, and they choose not to get a booth at First Friday, and they choose mm-hmm. not to like display their stuff, and they don't care about making money off of their creations because for them, like, it's just their like
right.
release and what they're doing for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's totally fine. And that, you know, I've even had people ask me before for events, like, well, how much do you charge to play a show? And I'm always pretty candid. I always just tell them, like, it's nice to get a couple $1 million. $1 million. No, it's nice to get a couple $100, but I've played many shows for free.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to turn this down if that's the case. Like, I just tell them, like, you literally... Like, I would love to get $200 or $300 because being in a band takes a lot of time and it's
yeah.
very expensive. But just so you know, I literally still will play this for free. And then I just kind of leave it up to their honor. And sometimes it, you know, people are like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing for free. And
yeah.
other times, like, people like, are like, you deserve
you know,
more than
yeah.
that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So,
and I like that idea. Like, I like the idea of, like, you just like, showing them what
almost.
You, yeah, what you do. And at that point, they make the decision.
I'm the worst. Salesman
like,
ever like I'll talk
too.
If you want to like ask me questions about what I do, I'll answer them all day, but if you want me to like sell you on what I do
yeah.
like fuck, I can't.
Well
yeah,
and
no,
I think that's kind of the thing though. It's like I've met artists who they're literally like, this canvas, if you want to buy this piece that I made, $900,
right,
$500, $600,
yeah,
whatever.
It's like
and then there's other people who are like, I guess
do you,
like,
do you have a goat we could trade?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Or do, like, a
and I feel like because of the mentality that like we have a little more where we're like we're used to like trading and like being a little more collective and just like in that kind of mindset
sure.
where it's kind of hard like because even with like what I do with like floral work, people will be
oh, yeah.
like, well, what's your typical quote? And I'm like, well, what's your budget and what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I usually just try to like work around
right,
that budget.
Right.
Because it's hard for me to be like, pay me this much money for like what I'm doing for you right now.
Exactly.
Like, it's awkward.
It's like, well, is it, you know, for me a lot of times too, it's like, well, like, okay, let's say that somebody's having a neighborhood show. Like, I love my neighborhood. I live, Maple Ash and Tempe.
Yeah. No, you've got a great neighborhood.
So if somebody from the hood gets a hold of me and is like, hey, we're going to do like this house show or this sort of thing. Will you guys play? Of course. I'll be there. And it wouldn't even cross my mind to ask for money or even certain venues that
wow.
go on name that we play.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I want to support that venue because they've been good to our band.
Yeah.
But
so
then
we're having
if
a party. Will you come play for us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll feed you.
Absolutely.
We'll feed your beer.
All my band needs is booze, but preferably for my sake,
we have pineapple.
Just don't give them a lot of booze before we play.
Yeah.
No.
But
we'll ration
but then
it.
You know,
we'll
but
ration
if I'm playing like, if I'm playing a place where they're like
and I know
selling $6 beers.
Band members.
Yeah.
To ration
yes.
it off too.
But they're, if they have a situation where they're selling $6 beers and there's 300 people there, like they
then
should
yeah.
absolutely be paying.
Yeah.
Duh.
No, it's definitely
and
a
Arizona's
tricky...
weird like that. Like,
well, in LA, you have to pay to play.
Yeah, in LA you pay yeah. to play. In the Midwest, like I used to get paid way even though people don't think of Iowa as being a hub for music or whatever, like,
it is.
I would get paid very well for even a half hour acoustic set. Like, a half hour acoustic set would easily be like at least $150, like almost anywhere.
Well,
and here it's like you're lucky to get that full band.
You're lucky to like find a band time here. Like they don't make you pay to play here, but they'll just be like, oh, we might not give you money, but we'll give you like a free plate of food and your drinks are on us all night.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, I guess that makes it worth it.
Some places don't even do that though. Some places it's like one drink, two drinks, that's it.
And I know when I was in the South for a while, like it was a whole thing of like, well, you don't even get free drinks. You get a percentage of the bar tab at the end of the night.
Which I kind of understand.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of different philosophies, and I get all of them.
All of them,
I get it.
Yeah.
Certain ones, though, are more pro-business, certain ones are more pro-bands, and certain ones can work for both.
Well, I'm going to take a social awkward moment, but I think
I must
Natalie and Cole might want to still discuss some things.
Yeah, we can try to do that.
We can try.
We can try.
We can try. I think you guys all have plenty to talk about. This is my first pee break of the night, BT Dubs.
That's awesome.
Boner.
So I'm going to do that.
All right, we'll come back. We'll do it. I will be continue to be an open book. And then when you come back, maybe we'll wrap up because we got that big after party to go to, that big red carpet event with Snoop Dogg. And
I think Lil Wayne is going to be on
Edward Norton.
I think something happened. Okay, it's better now. For a second, it was like crackling. Did you hear it? No?
Yeah, it's in your head.
Okay, perfect. Well, Cole, I still feel like I didn't get to hear the whole get down as far as, well, I know that you didn't have a musically inclined family, but so like what like initially made you it like cracked again.
No, you're good.
Do you hear it?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
What about now?
I'm not hearing any crack on it. It could be the headset.
You could be on crack.
I wish. No, but so
What made that spark happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think some people are just born to do certain things.
Have you ever thought about doing a new sound? Like a new, like inventing a new sound of music?
Oh, God. I think, I don't know. I think every song that anyone could write is kind of a new sound because you're always borrowing from everything you've ever listened to.
Always,
I mean, I would hope that we, as a band, Kachina, what's cool, what's unique.
See, now you've cracked out. Can you hear me?
Perfectly fine.
Hello? Okay, now I can hear you. Sorry.
But as a band, what's really unique about Kachina is that Matthew Gilbert has been a lead singer and had his own band, Poem, Goodbye Tomorrow. Bradley has Bradley of the Materials. Yes. Zach has written songs for other bands, even a band that we used to be in called Channels. I've been in other bands as a songwriter. Mikey Sparrow, when he was in our band, he was a songwriter. So we are coming from an extremely collaborative place. When Kachina first started, I would write the songs. Zach would come in with his influence. Now it's changed to where a few of our new songs and a few of my favorite Kachina songs by far are songs that Zach's written. Bradley, you guys are crazy.
It sounds like a smack of somebody's mouth.
They're insane.
I don't hear a crackle. I think somebody's just, I think it's, like, okay. What's the nose from
I think
the
that there's like CO2
bug.
leaking into this apartment right now because you guys are insane.
No, I'm not hearing what she's hearing, but no, I think that's awesome, though, that it's...
But,
like,
yeah, it's just super collaborative. Bradley, we just started playing one of his songs called Yellow Bird. But, again, there's the Bradley version of the song Bradley wrote. And then there's the Kachina version. Where Bradley sings maybe half the time. I sing half the time, about half the time. Zach sings on part of it. Matthew
and
sings
then Matt
on part of
falls
it.
Asleep on the drum kit.
Yeah,
you know,
Matt, Matthew falls asleep on the drum kit at 2 a.m. band practice. It happens. It happens, yeah, buddy.
It's okay. Nobody's judging you for it. It's just what happens.
Like, that's rock and roll.
Yeah. Right. No, that's beautiful though. I love what.
I'm completely lost.
The big thing for me is just getting to see those guys at practice as an excuse to hang out with my best friends.
Well, this is actually my thing. Like, I loved the first time that I saw you guys when, like, it was just you, Zach, and Matt, and then watching it develop into what it now is. And literally, like, I just get giddy anytime that you guys have a show, because it's like so many of my favorite people all just creating together. And that means so much to me.
Well, like, thank you.
I love it.
Much.
I'm like, oh, my boys.
It's a special group of people. And yeah. I hope that, we have a lot of big ideas for what it can be. And I feel like more and more every time we get together, we figure each other out and we learn how to play with each other, and it becomes more and more effortless. And I hope that this next year really, really is a big one for Kachina, for Kachina Creative Studios, and for everybody I'm surrounded by. Like, yeah. I just feel like this year is gonna be the start or the culmination of a lot of good things for a lot of good people. And I hope that's the case.
So I have two more questions.
Sure.
First one is, if you could collaborate with anybody, living or dead, who would it be, and what project would you do with them?
Wow. Oh, man.
You can get back to me on this.
No. I mean, I know it's pretty loaded. I feel like, you know, the first person, I guess, that pops in my brain, so whether this is my actual answer or not, but it might be somewhat cliche, but Paul McCartney. I love all the guys in the Beatles for different reasons. And I even think in our band that I could draw certain comparisons. Like, Zach's totally George.
George. Totally. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Matthew,
he even looks like him.
Matthew and Bradley, if they had a baby, it would be John Lennon.
John Lennon, yeah.
And then Adam. Adam's totally Ringo.
Yeah.
Sorry. I fucking love Ringo.
No, Ringo's great.
I love Ringo. But Ringo always makes everybody smile because it's Ringo.
Yeah, no.
And I think Adam
totally
would be like,
Adam,
hell yeah,
right.
I'm totally Ringo.
Yeah.
But so Paul McCartney, I feel like he's somebody that I would just love to be able to learn from, because I feel like musically we have a lot of similar sensibilities, and I just feel like he's a
For a while,
a sweet soul.
I was just like planning that would be my first marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be able to Paul McCartney.
Sure.
But I think I'm out of his age range now.
Yeah, you're way too old for him.
Yeah, I'm totally way too old for Paul.
But so, you know, if I could think of anybody right off the top of the dome,
Paul
it'd
McCartney.
Be Paul McCartney.
Yeah. What would you want to create with him? Would it be music specifically, or?
I'd want him, yeah.
To make your babies.
Yeah, I would want to collaborate on making the first gay baby with Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney
Kibbers. Yeah, I would,
Kibbers McCartney.
It would be so cool to sit down with him and just write a song together. I don't know.
Yeah.
It would just, I can't imagine anything better. Even if I could just play a song with him, if the only problem would be is I don't usually get starstruck. Like I said, I've worked with a lot of celebrities on shit,
yeah,
and it's weird because I'm not just meeting them like, hey, how's it going? I'm like directing them like, hey, fucking sit here and put this on, asshole. But like with Paul McCartney, I don't know if I'd be able to play guitar because I might be like all like shaky and shit. But it might create that cool new sound. It'd be like the shake, you know, the shaky guitar man.
Dude, I heard an awesome story about. Dude, I heard an awesome story about a woman who met him on the bus in Manhattan. And she was like, are you Paul McCartney? And he's like, I am. And he was like, you want to come sit with me? And she was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm taking the bus uptown. And he was like, what are you up to today? And she's like, I'm taking the bus to to meet up with my sister. And like, he was just riding the city bus in Manhattan.
My favorite joke of all time was actually told by Paul McCartney, and I'll probably mess up the name and stuff.
That's okay.
Can I tell the joke?
Yes.
We have time for a joke.
Okay. There's plenty
of
time.
So,
it's not.
And you can find the video on YouTube. I'm not even going to do it justice. So really? Forgive me already.
It's okay.
But
I'll just shoot you later.
It's so charming because Paul McCartney's just sitting on a stool. You can look it up on YouTube. But he basically tells this joke where he's like, so this American guy was on a walk through Ireland, and I'm distracted by the whole microphone situation.
Yeah, it's better now. Sorry. Proceed.
So this American guy is walking, and he's pretty parched because he's been hiking all through Ireland, and he sees this bar on the top of the hill, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go up there and get a drink. So he goes up to the bar, and he goes inside to order his drink. The bartender comes up. He's like, oh, like, what can I get for you? He's like, I'll just take a
pint. Is that how they talk?
Yeah. He's like, I'll just take a pint of Guinness. And so the bartender grabs it and brings it back to him. He's like, yeah, you happen to notice that fence out there when you're walking up? The guy's like, yeah, I did. He's like, oh, it's a beautiful fence, isn't it? Yeah, it's a nice fence. Ah, yeah, I built it myself. But you don't hear him call me Finnegan the fence maker now, do you? Nah. And the guy walks off, and the bartender walks off, and the guy's like, what the hell is that? You know, yeah. So he's drinking his pint. Bartender comes back up. He's like, you like this bar? The guy's like, yeah, it's a pretty nice bar. He's like, yeah, it's made out of solid mahogany. Made it myself. But you don't hear him call me Finnegan the bar maker now, do you? Nah. Walks away. The guy's like, what the fuck is going on? So finally, he orders another pint. The bartender pours it and comes up. He's like, it's a nice looking pint, isn't it? The guy's like, yeah, it's a good pint. He's like, I poured it myself. It's perfect. The guy's like, uh-huh. He's like, but you don't hear him call me Finnegan the pint pourer now, do ya? Nah. But you fuck one goat.
Oh, I love it.
Like I said, he tells it better, but it's a Paul McCartney joke.
That's so good. No, that's brilliant. Well, I want to say thanks again for Natalie returning from the dead.
Yes.
And for Cole.
I feel like it's still not.
Just speak your words, because we can hear you.
It's a headphone, so that means...
We hear you.
Yeah, okay. Just pull it off like this. Be all like 50 Cent in the studio.
Oh, there it is. Thank you. Natalie. Thank you so grandly. Oh, now I can breathe again. I feel like I'm alive.
So yeah. I'm glad that you were resurrected, and we got you out of detainment, and all of the things that I lied awfully about where you were when you weren't here. And Cole, thank you so much for being our guest and playing music and
totally my pleasure.
Telling us so much about yourself and just being a part of our loveliness on the Underground Railroad.
You gals are extremely lovely, wonderful people. I'm very thankful to Steven also for being the engineer on this whole thing.
Our engineer tech, my undisclosed relation. I have no family. He is my brother, but I have no family.
So are we done? You can find me at my house. No, you can find me on whatever. Find the usual shit. Like, I'm on Facebook, Cole Kibbers. You can say hi. I don't care if it's on my personal thing. Otherwise, /Kachina Band/Kachina Creative Studios on whatever social network you prefer. There's ones I use more than others, obviously.
Facebook.
I'm not hearing
like our shit. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're gonna get better at using Twitter.
This is the medium, so I can meet with him. Talk to my father, let him know that I'm his. Are you really there, or is there just no one? Is my intuition an elaborate illusion?
So what are we doing here? Promo or something?
I don't know. We just kind of got stuck in this audio wave.
Some giant blue Sasquatch told me to make a promo for foureyedradio.com.
Said something about going this way. So we're here.
Yeah, this is Prometheus.
And this is J. Agamemnon.
Yeah, we have a podcast.
In case anyone wants to listen to it.
It's called Straight Outta Austin!
Exclamation point.
Yeah, that's an important part of the name. And it's italicized.
Yes.
And it's from punchingthewallsreality.com.
It's one of the best podcasts you've never heard.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have never heard it.
I'm pretty sure you've never heard it.
Positive.
I'm like 100%.
Yeah, I'm 110%. That's 110%, not even possible.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys should go to foureyedradio.com and listen to it.
Yeah.
It would make us happy.